John, what are we doing here? We're conducting what?
America's exit poll. Because people are voting all over America. And if you've had any problems, if you care to share the story of the process of voting, we'd love to hear from you.
And we've gotten some fascinating stories. Yesterday, we got a call from one of our listeners who was concerned about voting not for herself, but for her daughter. Listen.
My name is Chris Vesatinsky. What I really want to talk about is voting for the military. My daughter is forward-based. She's on a warship in Japan and has asked for an absentee ballot from the state of Massachusetts. This has not worked before, and I'm not sure it's going to work this time. So she hadn't received it as of 2 days ago. She hadn't received her absentee ballot to vote in Massachusetts.
For decades, men and women serving in the U.S. military overseas have had trouble casting their votes. It's a 60-year-old system of paper mail-in ballots that's clearly outdated in the computer age, not to mention that unworkable today with tens of thousands of U.S. forces fighting wars on two fronts based all over the world. We're joined now by Bob Carey, a senior fellow at the National Defense Committee, to talk about some of the obstacles that you believe, Bob, many people in the military are facing in being able to cast their ballot. Why don't you give us a list of some of them?
Well, first, thank you very much for having us on today. It's an honor and appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. This is, as you said, this is a 60-year-old problem. In 1952, President Truman sent a letter to Congress talking about the disenfranchisement of military personnel because of the reliance upon paper ballots and postal mail delivery. It just won't work. The whole absentee ballot system was based upon the idea of sending a ballot across town, not across the world. And so the deadlines for the delivery of absentee ballots and for the return of absentee ballots simply won't support the physics of getting a ballot around the world and back. In 2006, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That is in 1952?
Oh, yeah. This problem has been known for decades, and no changes, no substantive changes have really taken place to the system. For the most part, we still rely upon paper ballots being sent out too late. Your caller yesterday was talking about her daughter, who is a Massachusetts voter. Massachusetts doesn't even send out its absentee ballots until 21 days prior to the election. Now, mail takes about 12 to 18 days to reach a combat zone by the standard. So if everything goes perfectly, mail's not going to get over there until about 12 to 18 days later. And then it takes another 12 to 18 days to get back. Well, so even the minimum will mean that for Massachusetts, the ballot will not be able to get there and back in time.
And that's
Rhode
just...
Island is also...
That's,
I'm sorry,
and just to note, that's just one state. And as you explain, one of the major problems is that the rules are different in every single state. How is that? The military is a federal department. The right to vote is a federal right. Why isn't this handled by the military?
The Constitution gives to each and every state the right to choose the method of electing its of conducting its own elections, both state and federal elections. Congress does have the right to preempt that federally, but they're loath to do that because the states, you know, hold a lot of sway on this issue. And so the only law that's out there right now is called the Uniform and Overseas Citizen Absentee Voting Act in 1986, but it's very limited in its scope of what it will preempt federal law. So basically every state will determine when, you know, they will send out their absentee ballots when you have to have it back by. So one state will say you have to have your absentee ballot back by the day before the election. Another one will say, well, if your ballot is postmarked by the day of the election, we don't have to get it back until 8 or 10 or 14 days after the election. And what happens is that the voting assistance officers that are in each of these units are trying to help these people through this process. But because there's so much complexity and so much variety amongst the states, the voting assistance guide that the Department of Defense puts together for them is 466 pages long.
Oh, gosh.
Bob,
now, if you're a first-time voter and you're trying to wade through 466 pages of regulations, chances are you're going to say, this is just too difficult.
Well, Bob, what I'm hearing from you is that our listener, Chris, is out of luck, period. Correct?
Not fully. We have a strategic part of the National Defense Committee called the Overseas Vote Foundation. And what they've done is www.overseasvotefoundation.org. What they've done is they've taken the provisional ballot that military personnel and overseas citizen voters are allowed to use, called the Federal Write-In Absentee Ballot. And they've put it online, and they've populated it with all the federal candidates by your address. So you go online to overseasvotefoundation.org, you put in your address, and it'll automatically bring up a version of this federal write-in absentee ballot for you, and you choose your candidates, and then you print it out and you send it in. Some states also will actually email the blank ballot to, and this is a recent occurrence where some states are now allowing the actual emailing of a blank ballot to military personnel, which will take, you know, the delivery of the ballot off the equation. You still have to send the ballot back in. Not many states, only about 7 or 8 states will allow for a voted ballot to be emailed or faxed back in. But at least that will, you know, allow you to receive the ballot immediately rather than having to wait for the absentee ballot to arrive by postal mail. So if they go to, so if a military voter has not received their absentee ballot yet, today is their election day. They need to go online to overseasvotefoundation.org and download this federal write-in absentee ballot and send it in today.
Well, what about those, Bob, who say, look, soldiers are young and they're irresponsible, and the reason why there's only a 26% return rate is because, well, they just don't feel like voting.
Well, you know, the figures don't, you know, back up with that. In the general population, about 40% of the general population voted in 2006, and only 22% of the military voted in 2006, which, you know, you see people say, well, they're young and they're first-time voters, they don't want to vote. But when you look at the absentee vote ballots that are requested, 660,000 military absentee ballots were requested. If a person's going to go to the effort to request an absentee ballot, you can pretty much, and in the general population, 85% of the absentee ballots that were requested were returned. But for the military, only 26% were returned. That's 484,000 military ballots that were requested and not returned.
Wow.
That's more than a third of the military requested an absentee ballot and didn't get the chance to cast it.
Hmm. So there is some relief, though. I hope Chris is listening and that
great
her daughter, exactly, if it's just that simple, just very quickly, is this something that's been well advertised so that members of the military are aware that they can do this?
Unfortunately not. The Federal Voting Assistance Program, which is the organization within the Department of Defense that runs this, says that there is no problem. And in fact, that the military, they believe the military votes at a higher rate than the general population, and that it's all because of their voting assistance program, which we believe to be a bit Pollyannish. And so they have actually not allowed the Overseas Vote Foundation to be able to advertise on Armed Forces Radio or the Armed Forces, you know, or Armed Forces TV.
So the fight continues, Bob, essentially. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Bob Carey is a senior fellow at the National Defense Committee.
Great information there. We're always on at The Takeaway, and here is your takeaway.
There's a Ferrari outside, so I guess things aren't too bad.
Carol LaHoya is chief energy correspondent for the Financial Times in the lobby of the Intercon, where OPEC is meeting.
And you can join the conversation online if you missed anything. Catch up with us on iTunes.
And we have many more stories from America's exit poll coming in. People telling about difficulties of voting early. They're surprising difficulties, not just for the military. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Adora Udoji, and this is The Takeaway.